I was born in Alabama with a twin sister, identical twin sister named Glenda. And our parents migrated, like a lot of people, to Detroit in 1951. And I went to Detroit Public Schools, elementary school, Hancock Elementary School, which is no longer there, Jefferson Junior High School, which is still around but not functioning as a school, and then DeCass Tech for 3 years, and then I transferred to Denby and graduated from Denby High School. Mm-hmm. I will be talking about my mother's grandfather, Wyatt Tate, who was born in Alabama. Wyatt Tate, first of all, he had a large family. He owned his own farm, and he was infamous. He is documented in more than 80 newspapers in 1894, so it went viral, this incident. According to our family history, he had purchased an animal. Some people say it was a horse, some people say it was a mule, but either way, he purchased an animal that was really not in good health from two white guys. He nurtured that animal back to really good health, and actually some family members says he taught the animal certain tricks. My great-grandfather went on a business trip, and while he was gone, his animal was taken from him, now healthy, now worth a lot of money, and was sold to several different people by the time he returned home. So when he came home, he went to look for his animal, and he found it at the home of a white widow woman. Now, I have also read that it was a colored person, but I think we're going to go back to what my family has always told me, that it was a white widow woman. And he actually called that animal by name, took it home, and then they said he was a thief. And so as a result, the sheriff went out to arrest him, and in the process of attempting to arrest him, he killed the sheriff, the high sheriff, his assistant, and also one of the horses that they were riding on. And that led to maybe as long as 2 months when he escaped, was able to navigate the forest, the woods, come back and see his family multiple times. At one point, the amount of money that was on his head, so to speak, was $1,600, which was an incredible amount of money. Ultimately, he was finally captured and murdered by a young man by the name of Foster, who some years later actually became a judge and didn't die until the 1940s. The documentation of his killing, May 12, 1894, was in the New York Times, but it was also in many, many other newspapers because for the 2 months that he had evaded capture, they were documenting people, his sightings. And so the papers, Canadian papers, papers on the East Coast, papers in California, papers in Iowa, Kentucky, Virginia, it has been really rewarding to see how far this story got and how important it was in that time for them to capture him.
Show me some of the stuff you have here.
Okay, so first of all, there's a book, and this book was written by a cousin of ours, a distant cousin who's now deceased, but it's called Little Wyatt Tate, Fiction Based on Fact by Bill Tate. Bill Tate was an actor and also a prize fighter, and he lived in Queens, New York, but he was born in Alabama like the rest of us. This book was written, I think, in 1996. It was published. I also have all these newspaper articles. Like I said, there's at least 80 of them that I have. And one of the things we have was our T-shirt. And the T-shirt has two, newspaper clippings, really. One on the front, which says $500 reward. And it describes what Wyatt Tate looked like, colored dark ginger cake, about 5'8" in height. 150 pounds. On the back, we have a desperate Negro, Monroeville, May the 6th, a posse of citizens in pursuit of Wyatt Tate, a Negro desperado who recently murdered Sheriff Foster and Deputy Icon. My mother, my mother, who died at age 94, August 8th in 2023. And she was the only daughter of Wyatt Tate's only son. My mother brought us up to speak up, not only for yourself, but for other people who are disenfranchised, who you see are being harmed. Her brother used his GI Bill money. He was a barber, a businessman. She became a businesswoman. They had rental property. My mother and her brother, Hugh Lander Tate, who had Tate's Barbershop on Vermont and Lysander Street near Murray Wright, were the first group of people who were the first Independence National Bank stockholders. So in one of their annual books from way back when, in the early 70s, there's a photo of my mother and my uncle, Annie L. Tate McGatney, Hugh Lander Tate, as stockholders. They believed in supporting our community. There was an old grocery store that's now long closed because we didn't shop at it, called Our Supermarket. They were stockholders there. They just believed in supporting small businesses. They believed in supporting our businesses. This is how we maintain who we are and how we are healthy. It's our story. You need to be telling your story. We're all, as I said, we're all checking out of here. And so what you leave is the most important thing.